35 years, I was going to work every day and feeling like I was just getting paid to do something that was absolutely enjoyable. What I didn't realize, John, is that it took me about 3 months after leaving television to kind of decompress. And what I thought was a normal level of stress was an inordinate level of stress.
Hi, I'm John Yeager, and this is Bloodworks 101, the Anthem Award-winning podcast brought to you by your friends here at Bloodworks Northwest that's designed to inspire you to donate either time, money, or blood. You probably recognize that voice right there. It belongs to former King 5 Seattle anchorman Mark Wright, who's also the host for a podcast called Beats Working. Mark and I go way back as colleagues in the news business, which you'll hear about. But the reason Mark's on Bloodworks 101 today is the fact that he's a loyal Bloodworks Northwest donor. And I found his message, his motivation for being a donor, to be positively inspirational. I caught up with Mark recently as he was wrapping up a donation at our Seattle Central Donor Center on First Hill. Why does he donate?
There's no good reason not to. My father, when he was alive, battled cancer near the end of his life and went through chemo and radiation and had to have a number of blood transfusions. And even if you don't have a family member who's needed blood, it's really easy to understand how valuable this gift is. Children in hospitals, accident victims, elderly people. I mean, there's just no good reason not to.
Well, I mean, I've worked here for about 6 years, and it's easy for me to get on my soapbox about blood donation because I like to talk to people. And I used to be a reporter. I used to meet the Daily Deadline. You and I have known each other for many years. You know how far back this goes?
1989. Were you at KXLY in 89? Yeah. How many years is that?
I don't know.
35 years?
That's scary. Remember we had a softball team? I tell this to people all the time, Mark. I say, I've never seen a softball player hit a ball farther than you did. You step up to the plate and it's like, I never saw that coming.
What I loved about that is I was 6'2", probably 165, dripping wet, and the outfielders would see that and just move way in.
I used to love seeing that.
I played on softball teams in later years, but I haven't been able to replicate that home run swing, but it's fun.
I used to love that. Like you say, I'd see them pull in, and I go, just keep coming in. And then you just hit it a mile. Anyway, yeah. But we worked together at KXLY in Spokane, and then I came into Seattle. I think I came to work at Cairo TV, and you went to Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah. I was in Salt Lake during the Olympics for almost 5 years. And I like to say we were the Griswold family because we did every tourist attraction. And it was just a beautiful experience living in Utah. And then I had the chance to come back up to Seattle in 2003.
I remember because Todd Mukhtari was the news director at KCPQ.
Yeah.
We called it Q13 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I told him about this guy. You had sent, you sent your tape in. And he asked me about your, how did it happen? But because I remember you coming to the station when I was there.
Well, what's interesting is I auditioned for Todd. And it apparently didn't go very well. So he called my agent, said, nah, I think we're going to pass. So Todd ended up leaving to take another job, I think in California somewhere. And the new news director, Bill Kazarba, my agent reached out to Bill and said, hey, if Mark flies himself up there, would you give him another shot? And Bill said, sure. And so I auditioned, and Bill and I hit it off, and the rest is history. And I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, Bill's a good friend of mine now, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you and I go way back. We worked at the same stations together. And you got your start in Seattle at Q13. Mm-hmm. I left. You went on to go to another station. What is it? King 5?
Yeah. KING.
Yeah, that's it.
So from 2011 till 2 years ago, I was at King. Did mornings first and then evenings after that.
Do you miss it at all? I mean, people ask me that all the time. They say, you know, you're talking to important people. You get a chance to be there for history, and conversely, you're there on the worst day of somebody's life too. But do you miss that excitement?
The job never felt like work. So for 35 years, I was going to work every day and feeling like I was just getting paid to do something that was absolutely enjoyable. What I didn't realize, John, is that it took me about 3 months after leaving television to kind of decompress. And what I thought was a normal level of stress was an inordinate level of stress. And just the fact that I wasn't home for dinner with my wife 5 nights a week. And so I think some of the sacrifices and stresses that we think are normal for the job really are extraordinary. And I think we forget that. And so, you know, it took me about 3 months to decompress, plus just the content of what you're talking about every night can be, you know, negative, depressing. So this is a long way of answering your question. I loved my time as a journalist, but I don't miss it at all.
Yeah, I could echo that.
Yeah.
It taught me work habits that when you explain to somebody who hasn't been in journalism meeting a daily deadline, they can't believe it. You'd get an assignment in the morning, you brought the story idea in yourself, and by, say, 11, you were shooting it. You had a couple hours to shoot, write, edit, do the stand-up, and put it on the air at 5.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, you had to do it again all over the next day.
Yeah, I think the thing that people don't understand is that there is no missing your slot. We call it missing your slot. So let's say John's story is going to be at, you know, 5:23. That's when you hit in the rundown in the show. There is no missing the slot. You have to hit your slot. And if you don't hit your slot, it might happen once, but it's not going to happen twice. If it happens twice, you're gone.
And I also remember you had an ability to just make it look very easy, and your, across your face, you looked comfortable. I remember sometimes I'd be out doing a live shot, and it'd be rainy, and it'd be nighttime, and be, you know, it's a bad situation. The weather's inclement. And people would say the next day, well, you didn't look like you were enjoying yourself. Well, you know, sometimes you have to report bad news.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a poker face.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
Yeah, and I think to your credit, that, you know, authenticity is the name of the game. And the best journalists don't try to put on any sort of show or veneer. It's all about being authentic.
So what got you started donating blood? I mean, I know you went to Wazoo for your undergrad work, and you're quite the bowler, as I recall. Say the things I remember. He can hit a softball, and he's quite a bowler, and he never misses a slot. What got you started donating blood?
I think it was my connection with Dr. Jim Aubuchon, who was the former director here at Bloodworks, became a good friend of mine through the Rotary Club of Seattle. And then I was asked to do some fundraising events for Bloodworks, and it just I got connected that way and started donating because I knew the organization, and Jim and Susie are still friends. I haven't seen them for a long time. I know they're back east now, but I hope to connect on the sailboat at some point. But that's how it all started.
They always invite you because Susie has done the same thing. Just, as soon as you're out here, I'd love to do that. Yeah, that would be because he's in his happy place when he does that.
But I should tell you, John, that when I was a kid, I had a real fear of needles. Like, it was terrible if I ever had to give blood. And then when I was in my 20s in Spokane, I signed up for a study, like an acid reflux medication study, and they had to take a lot of blood. And I happened to get someone who was not really good at drawing blood, and it really triggered my my brain. And it took me a number of years after that experience to not kind of freak out when I gave blood. And so I've gotten over that. And the more I give, the easier it is. And now I just relax and it's easy.
We did a study a few years ago, Mark, with the folks at Harris Interactive in New York. And we asked people, you know, I think we had 1,000, you know, respondents, which makes it science. You know, you have to have a certain threshold. And we asked these people what the number one reason, why don't they donate blood? And the number one reason was fear of needles. It's called trypanophobia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tell people when they come in, or they don't come in, and they say, I'm afraid of needles. I go, get in line. Nobody likes the concept, but we still do it.
Get in line. And the other thing, too, is that I go to a metabolism doctor where I have to do labs every 3-4 months and give, you know, get stuck 4 times. Every time. And just lie down. If you're afraid of needles, lie down when you give. And if something happens, you're already lying down. And I've found that it takes a lot of the fear out of it if you just lie down and relax.
So we talked about life after the newsroom, life after meeting the daily deadline. And you've got a podcast out called Beats Working. Tell me a little bit about where that came from and why you love doing it, because it's obvious you do.
When I left television, I had planned to go into mortgage lending. So I studied for a half a year. I took my test, I passed my exam, I got certified, I joined an amazing firm here in Seattle, and then mortgage rates went up. And that year, it was pretty obvious that it was going to be a tough 2 or 3 years to be in the mortgage industry. At that same time, a couple of my friends who left King 5, Libby Sundgren and Elise Bryson, had joined a startup, and they said, hey, we're testing out this personal development curriculum with a guy named Dan Rogers. And Dan is an entrepreneur and has a shipping company, an event shipping company, where they ship stuff like to Microsoft conferences and things. But Dan has developed this curriculum, personal development curriculum, on how to get stuff done in your life, like how to be intentional. And I thought I had made good decisions in life, but I had never been intentional on a daily basis. Like, these are the top 6 things I'm going to get done today, and I'm going to open my calendar, and I'm going to put it in there. So anyway, long story short, I took this 10-week course to help test out the curriculum. And by the end of the course, I was like, man, this is really life-changing. And this guy is just really amazing. And Dan came to me and he said, I've got a podcast that I don't think I'm the host. I should be the host. I think you should be the host. It's called Beats Working. He said, I'm on a mission to redeem work. And that is to make work better for everyone, to show that work can be honorable. You can make money and still treat human beings with honor. And so he asked me to join the company, and that was a year ago, January, and it's been the best job I've ever had in my life. So I host Beats Working, and we've passed 60 episodes by now, and we interview all kinds of people, entrepreneurs, leaders. We're going to be interviewing Sue Nixon from Bloodworks about her work and how what she's doing is redeeming work. We also have another new podcast. We produce podcasts for other people. And this one is called Fat Science with Dr. Emily Cooper. So it's me, Dr. Cooper, and her childhood friend. She's my metabolism doc, and it's on the science of metabolism and, you know, why we get fat and just really the science behind the obesity and diabetes epidemic in America.
You had her on as a guest recently.
Yeah. She was on the show as well, and it's just fascinating because the whole calories in, calories out paradigm does not work. It just doesn't work, and especially if you have metabolic syndrome, which I do. So I was pre-diabetic, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar. Everything was bad. My family doc said, hey, try to get better, you know, exercise, try to eat better. Nothing worked, and I come from a long line of bowling ball-shaped men, speaking of bowling. and that was just genetics. And so I've seen Dr. Cooper for a little over 10 years, and I've never been healthier, and she's a genius when it comes to metabolism.
I found out about my high blood pressure and about my low iron level because I came into this place.
Really?
I was trying to donate blood, and they said, your blood pressure's too high. So I addressed that. And then the next time I come in, your iron level is too low. So I take iron tablets. I take a statin for my blood pressure. I would have never known it unless I came in to donate blood. And walked away feeling defeated because I was like, geez, they won't take my blood. I'm here, right? And so when I see somebody that gets deferred, what we call deferred, I want to come alongside them and say, okay, a couple of things you can do to address that. Drink plenty of water beforehand. Take an iron supplement. And if you have a blood pressure issue, address it, because it's good that you should know that stuff.
Yeah. Blood pressure is not something you want to mess with. And just knowing the history of donating, I was deferred once because I got stuck in traffic. And I was racing to get here, totally stressed out. I sat down, they took my blood pressure. It was like 160 something over. And they took it again. They said, I'm sorry, Mark, you can't give today. So
there's another thing called white lab coat syndrome.
Oh, I have that.
And every time I see somebody with a white lab coat,
it just affects me. It's a real thing. And I've struggled with that to the point where my own doctor, you know, Emily Cooper, has said, get a home kit, start taking your blood pressure at home, because when I go to the doctor, it always gets high.
This is I love what this place represents, because in a very real way, I mean, people's lives are saved. What you just did today by donating blood, there's no hyperbole there. Somebody's going to get it who needs it.
And I asked the attendant what my blood type was because I could never remember. It's either O positive or negative, but he said it's negative. So I'm a universal donor. This is the blood type that gets put on paramedic units when they go out into the field, and that feels pretty good.
And I always want to, which I will do right now, I apologize for how we reach out to you, because now that we know that you're O negative, you will get hounded for your donation, because we really need type O negative.
And what a lot of people don't know, and you know this, I mean, Bloodworks is not just a blood bank. It's a full circle blood research and, you know, resource entity that anything blood related, they're in. They're all in.
And as a storyteller, doing these podcasts, but also pitching stories to media, I feel like there's so many stories that I have to swat them away. And they're not just stories that promote this place because I work here. And, you know, they're stories that save somebody's life. And it's life and death stuff. Yeah. And so this is the best job I've ever had, because I get to be a storyteller. And the stories are rich and meaningful, and they save lives. I mean, there's nothing better than that.
Yeah. What have you learned, John, since starting to work here that you didn't know, that the average person has no idea, that you were just like blown away when you found it out?
The selfless approach to donation that most people have. You said before, it's just something that you've always done. I had a chance to move my office a few years ago away from the first floor. I didn't want to, because I wanted to be here at Central so I could see the people coming in. Yeah. And I could thank them. My eyes have been opened about these heroes that live every day among us. They don't want to be recognized. You know, we're putting you on because you have celebrity, and I've known you for a while, and you could just be any other donor, but there are so many people like that that just come in out of a sense of duty. We entice them sometimes with backstage passes for Macklemore or Alaska Airlines coupons or some, you know, little prizes and stuff, but most people don't need that. They just come out of a sense of duty. So that's the one thing that's opened my eyes since I've worked here. The selfless dedication and determination that our donors have every day. And it blows me. It humbles me.
Yeah. If you look in the donation room, it's like there's somebody that looks like your grandpa and your mom and your wife. And it's like every walk of life they come in here. And the stories that impress me most are there are people who give gallons of blood. And what are there, 16 pints in a gallon?
They're out there in the tree of life. I mean, I've noticed some of these. It's 100 donations, 500 donations. When I was waiting for you to come in, I said, I'll just walk over to the tree of life and look. And it's just like, again, I think there's a reason why I waited there.
Then a donor who overheard our conversation chimed in and told us that her name was up there on the tree of life.
Well, I think she's on the tree.
And she's on the tree.
What's your name?
Gina.
Gina. How many donations have you done in your life?
What are you up to now?
118 whole bloods.
See?
Can I shake your hand?
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you so much. We're just talking about you. I probably heard it.
And how much was it? 100 and what?
118.
Oh, my goodness. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got 100 to go then.
Hey, see, there you go. Thank you. See?
See, that's it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. This is something that people don't have to do, but they understand the value of it. It's beautiful.
Anything I haven't asked you that you feel is important to add right now?
I don't think so, John. I just think I've always been a big fan of yours, and just you're one of the best storytellers that I've ever worked with, and I think there's real power in story. And I think I love listening to the Bloodworks podcast, and it gives people, you know, a story to learn from, to be inspired by, and just keep up the good work, because that's super fun. And I hope you listen to our podcast. This is the best job in the world, because in redeeming work, I have to tell you, my boss, Dan Rogers, we get half of June off, half of December off. We have unlimited PTO. We work at home. It's a 4-day work week. It's unbelievable. And he's in it for the long run.
Well, you love it, and you can hear it, because I've become a fan of it, and I want to see the next time it drops. Every Monday it drops, right? And continued success. It's a wonderful listen. I love listening to it.
well, tell everybody here that I appreciate what they're doing, because, you know, working in the nonprofit world is not something that people do to get rich. They do it because they feel a calling. And I'm in awe of people like you and others who come to work every day and show up and put in the time in a way that makes a real difference in the world.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
That was Mark Wright, former King 5 anchorman and now host of the podcast Beats Working. We're offering a link to that podcast on our Buzzsprout site. If you haven't listened to it yet, definitely add it to your list of podcasts. And that just about wraps it up for this edition of Bloodworks 101. I'm your host, John Yeager. See you next time.
That was cool.
That was
Gina, 118.
That was a great moment.
Oh, my gosh.